Welcome to the podcast. It's Kelly. This is where we talk about flowers with people who have dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We believe that working with flowers is important work, so we want to join together today to cheer each other on and to welcome our special guest. Today, we have Jen from Nectar in Bloom. Nectar in Bloom is a boutique floral design studio and a floristry workshop that offers poetically spirited fine art floral designs that tell stories and invite experiences and aim to conjure magic and inspiration. In this episode, you will be inspired by Jen's gift with words as she shares her experience on her parents' farm growing up and how that propelled her into various stages of life, eventually leading to flowers. She's sharing keys to giving yourself permission to carry out actions from a passionate heart. And you'll hear about the symbiotic relationship between creativity and wellness and how to lean into that for your own life. She's calling florists to action and taking care of themselves and providing some tips on how to do that well. This podcast is brought to you by Team Flower, an online support community dedicated to educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers worldwide. We provide online classes, in-person events, and free weekly resources designed to support you in your journey with flowers. So whether you're a professional florist, flower farmer, or you just love flowers, know that there's a place for you here, and you can join the party at teamflower.org. This episode is going to be hosted by my friend Megan, and Megan does a lot of the conference planning here at Team Flower, and a lot of the kind of like nuts and bolts of things that behind the scenes that are really important to helping us get the messages out about the different types of content that is available to you here. So I'm really excited to introduce you to her, and she is going to be leading this interview today.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Megan.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to chat with you today. Well, could you help our audience get to know you just a little bit better? Maybe tell us about your journey to flowers and how that started.
Sure. Thank you so much for the opportunity too. What a gift. You know, we all have an amazing story, and to have a chance to tell it and share it is just a really, really kind opportunity. So thanks for that. I'll try to tell it in a way that's aware of time, just because I know stories can get long. But I would say my journey to flowers, I'd say, first of all, I think that life is in many chapters, and this is one of them for me. And I think that this chapter just emerged for me, both against my will, but also with my will, without me realizing it. Sometimes I think what we are most called to do, the expression it takes, is something that for me, and I think for many, my heart of hearts knew all along what I wanted to do, what this chapter of life that it was coming, but my mind was always busy trying to like be in charge and figure it out and plot the course. And so it's a wonderful amusement in life, the surprise of how things come full circle, which I'll talk about a few times. But so without further ado, I guess you have to start at the beginning, but with just the little pieces that make sense to coming to me working as a floral artist. I actually grew up on an organic produce farm in the Midwest, which I, growing into my teenage years, couldn't get away from soon enough. I grew up in a small town in southwestern Ohio. And I, as a child, I got to grow up on these big, beautiful acres with meadows of clover and great old deciduous trees swaying in the wind, and just things that were completely the landscape of my earliest imagination. And I grew up, you know, my mom encouraged my sister and brother and I to be creative, and we'd paint, or I'd go outside and write poetry, or I'd search for four-leaf clovers. I had this really rich outdoor life, but also my parents working their farm meant that I grew up harvesting peas off the trellises and squashing the larva of Mexican bean beetles, which my dad called making mustard because they're bright yellow and you had to squash them by hand. Because when produce is grown organically, you're not using a lot of the pesticides and other kinds of methods that would make that not something you had to do. So very creative, also a lot of like outdoor labor, a lot of hands in the dirt. And the funniest thing to me, because I never thought any of this would be part of my adult life and how I would serve in the world, but my sister and I had a small flower business on the side of my parents' produce farm. So we chose our own seeds from their seed catalogs, and they helped us plot where we'd plant them, and we'd plant seedlings and transplant, and we'd water them and weed them and deal with the bugs and everything. And then we would cut the flowers to make bouquets to sell on the side of our parents' stall at the farmers markets. And all of that was really beautiful and really fun in a lot of ways, but also growing into my teenage years, a lot of work and annoyance that I just wanted to get away from and just like live life and not be in this little farm. So it's actually really sweet to me now, looking back, that I actually had my hands in flowers from the earliest days, even though we were making just giant bouquets wrapped with like 7 rubber bands to sell in these buckets alongside of our stand. But they were still beautiful, and it was wonderful to have that experience with flowers. So it's ironic to me because there's a lot of life between then and now. And at the time, I never, like I said, would have thought, gosh, this is what I'm going to end up working with flowers. And who says ending up, right? We're always at a moment in our life too. We'll see where this chapter takes me. But I think that the flowers were always going to be a part of it. So from there, which I always like to say, my hometown, having moved out to California then for college, I realized that my upbringing was not normal, as we all feel when we're growing up there. We're like, everyone lives like this and it's so boring and somewhere else is better, you know. But coming out to San Diego for college, I was so suddenly very aware that my upbringing was really different than what people I was around now had grown up with. And that, you know, not everyone, I always describe my high school as like a mixture of Mean Girls and Varsity Blues. And that's exactly how it was. Football is everything. Right. We'd make t-shirts for every game. So I came out of this like Midwest life that I really appreciate now, but into like a completely different environment. And I wanted to study international relations so that I could travel. I thought I'd maybe be a lawyer or something, or like some kind of traveling consultant. I had no idea, but I just knew, I was like, travel has to be part of it. I just want to get as much life experience as possible. And this theme of things coming full circle happened the first time in college, where I realized the more I reached and tried to find out what else I could be, the more I was coming home to myself that had always been. And in my childhood, I was always a writer. I feel like flowers, color, like athletics and writing have always been in my life, no matter what I've tried and tried to get away from or tried to do otherwise. So my first collection of poems as a kid was the color poems. It was like a poem for every color. And so I tried to get away. I tried to get away from writing in English. And I'd been recognized as in like young authors contests and things like that, and gotten awards in English. And so I tried to do something else. But really, when I finally realized what I loved was English and writing and storytelling, it was so great. It was like, oh, why am I trying to be something else? I'm going to do an English major, which led me to really want to pursue writing. But when I graduated, it was the recession. And all I heard was, there are no jobs. And the only thing you can do is get an internship. Unpaid. And to me, an internship sounded like an internment camp on a boat. So I was like, I'm having none of that. I'm just going to go try to find wild jobs that will give me life experience as a writer. So anyway, we're getting back to how this leads me to flowers, because I feel like all these little pieces kind of flow into how it's almost like we collect all these tools in life and all these experiences, and they tend to serve us at the right moment.
Yeah.
So I get this English degree, then there's no job. So I actually fell in love with a horse ranch in the mountains of Wyoming and went out and worked there for a couple of summers. I worked at Jackson Hole Mountain Resort in the winters. So I had these like mountainous Wyoming days. In the summers, there were just meadows and mesas covered with lupins and balsam root and just incredible landscapes and flowers. And I think maybe because of how I grew up in a very enchanting landscape, that landscape has always been a huge part of my work and fascination as an artist. So even as I started pursuing poetry more, it was always like about and inspired by landscapes. So the Wyoming days led me to, I did a work stint. I got a work visa to New Zealand and another crazy, enchanting landscape island country. Alpine rainforest, just absolutely enchanting. And I just worked odd jobs and wrote as much as I could, and was fascinated by how the English language is spoken differently everywhere I went. And then I came back for graduate school because I, even in all of this like freedom and exploring, I knew I wanted to go back to school because something was calling me. And I think in finding one's calling, And I'm sure everyone listening here in some way has found their calling related to or involved with flowers or creativity. These callings come and you maybe don't know where they're headed, but they're going to serve you as you let yourself pursue them. Mm. So I go head back to San Diego for a Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. So I'm finally giving myself a chance to like really focus on being an artist. But it took me a long time to shake this kind of Midwestern mentality that I needed to have a real job, like something like being a lawyer or a doctor or something quote unquote real that would let me do my art on the side. You know, I had this kind of like practical, which is not useless, but is self-limiting mentality. So I thought, well, while I'm doing poetry in this program, I'll start teaching. I'll teach creative writing classes as a graduate student. And I loved it. It was like, this is awesome. I love the like dynamic experience of a classroom, getting to shape a discussion, getting to guide students through an experience. So anyway, this is so many details, but I think that the experience of teaching and also realizing that actually my favorite class in the whole program was an elective doing book arts. It was like letterpress and typeface setting and block carving and just like hands-on, like Coptic stitching for book binding, like a really tactile form of bookmaking and art while I was studying publishing and poetry and all these things. That really stuck with me, that those two things were kind of my main takeaway. Like, I love teaching and I love this like hands-on analog kind of ancient art feeling aspect of this. So those are the pieces I took from graduate school. And I started teaching at my alma mater. I started teaching literature and writing classes. I honestly thought that I needed to get as stable a job as I could, again, to like prove myself in academia. Like, this is going to be my path now. So I went through several different jobs in that way, both teaching, but then I also landed kind of a full-time position as an assistant director of a writing center. And that would let me teach literature, but also direct, but also hopefully like be a writer. And the funny thing was, for me, the more I tried to make that work, the more trapped I felt and off course I felt. And, you know, once I, with academia, there's like nationwide searches for positions. And when I scored a job that had a nationwide search and I had gone through all the interviews and everything, and I was going to have benefits and job security, but it turned out I was commuting 2 hours a day. I had a boss who was a wonderful person, but just wanted me to slow down and do less. And I was like, I am not a person in this life to slow down and do less. So it didn't last too long. And I realized at that point, those work experiences taught me that I think I need to be my own boss. I think I need to start something of my own. So we're like picking up the clues. But from there, I had fallen in love with yoga and started teaching yoga and decided I wanted to lead these like yoga retreats abroad. Mm-hmm. And my now husband and I went on one as kind of a scouting trip in between semesters. So I'm still teaching at the university, but I'm taking time to go kind of scout for a yoga trip. And on that trip, I just felt like the whole time we found this beautiful permaculture farm that was a Dharma center as well in Thailand. And when we'd practice yoga in the morning, I felt like I'd spend my afternoons either helping on the farm, which was funny coming home again to myself. Couldn't get away from the farm. In fact, I started seeking it. and then just like journaling about like, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? What am I here to do with all of this, like all of this energy and this desire to serve and this creativity of what am I supposed to do? And leaving that trip in the Bangkok airport, I'll never forget walking into a bookstore. One of the books in English happened to be Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Work Week. And it like leapt off the shelf into my hands. And I bought it and I read it. And the thing that stuck with me from that book was that, oh my gosh, you don't have to have an MBA to start a business. You don't have to have studied business all your life to run your own business. And it was really an empowering moment for me. So that's another piece. I was like, I can run my own business.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Business Foundations, an online class. It's designed for anyone looking to start or streamline a wedding florals business. In this comprehensive course, we'll discuss getting started, drafting contracts, estimates, and proposed healthy client florist processes. We'll also cover business plans and income projections, sourcing supplies, building a portfolio, and so much more. If you're just starting out, this course will equip you to start your dream business on solid footing instead of doing hours of guesswork and making all of the common mistakes. Or maybe you're already pursuing your dream, but you're feeling a little flustered on this business side. This class is for you too. We'll guide you through getting your products and policies in place so you can focus on your customers and doing what you do best, creating beautiful designs for them. In addition to over 6 hours of instructional videos, this class also includes 16 helpful business documents like a sample proposal and contract, budget planning guide, and cash flow spreadsheet. If you're ready to build the flower business of your dreams, you can find out more at teamflower.org/online.
So ironically, while I'm trying to figure out this academic career, I'm trying to figure out how I can work for myself, I'm trying to figure out how I can get more like tactile. I also, my husband is an actor and a filmmaker, and I was exposed to, we lived in LA for a couple of years, and I was exposed to the whole entertainment industry and how collaborative it is. It's a lot of people working for the same goal. And that was something I really wanted too. It was like, I want to not feel like a team of one as I do as a writer often. I want to feel like my work matters to a larger goal and is involved with other people. I think I'm a more of an extrovert, need people, need stimulus, need to like be connected. But I also have that like introverted need to create, need my own time. I think a lot of us creatives kind of fall somewhere in between those things or are one or the other, but tend toward the other. But I felt like the extrovert in me needed to not be just like quietly alone creating, hoping to publish things behind the scenes. I really wanted to work with people. So in short, I'm discovering all these pieces, but I'm searching, searching. My mind wants to be in charge. You know, we often, if anyone listening is like me, you try to do the right thing and take the right step and figure it out. But often that heart of hearts or your gut knows all along. And it's like, just keep taking a step. You're doing the right thing. And these things finally started to culminate when my husband and I decided to get married. I discovered the wedding industry. We hired amazing vendors who were their own single business owners, super creative, collaborative, so impressive to me, became friends of mine. And I thought, here's my creative collaborative industry in weddings and events. Here's a way for the practical Midwestern mindset I had that was like, you can't work as an artist. Where like artists are working and there is a market for their work, and also a chance for me to do something for myself, create something and be the boss myself. So how do we get to flowers, right? This is like all these other pieces. I'm leading you this way through it because it's like I put flowers on some kind of pedestal that was so far up or away from me that I couldn't even see it. I thought you would have to have lots of degrees to have that, you know, I'm trying to shake my academic hierarchical mindset. So yeah. I didn't even think about it. And I made a lot of things for our wedding. Our wedding was my discovery of Pinterest. I had been told in grad school that Pinterest would eat up a lot of my time. So I just avoided it. But when it came to planning a wedding, it was like type into Google, like San Diego wedding venues, because we were moving back to San Diego when we got married. And suddenly I was like, oh, Pinterest. Oh my gosh, this ocean of inspiration, right? Things people have made, things I had no idea this was going on. I'm so inspired. I'm going to explode. So I decided to make things for our weddings. I did like calligraphy on these glass window signs. I used to always do lettering growing up too. I always made the t-shirts for our football games. And I did the lettering on them. And then I made these like big hoop dream catchers with torn fabric. And I was just like on fire. I'm like, I want to make things for weddings. But what is that called? I didn't really understand what a stylist was. I didn't really know how to like market that I would make decor for events. So I was like, well, I'll just make a design studio and it'll just be a catch-all. meanwhile, completely in love with the flowers. The flowers are my favorite part of our wedding. I loved my florist. We're still good friends. But again, it was like out of my reach. And I don't know. I don't think I'm alone in that there are a lot of people who have something they know they truly want to do and are so in love with, but put it on some kind of pedestal, like I said, where it's almost unreachable, not even an option. Yeah. Until it comes and just like grabs you. So I started this little design studio, and I think this is getting to really the turning point moment where I realized that what I really wanted to do. And that was, I was still teaching. I was in my second to last semester teaching the fall of 2016. And I was like, I'm just going to let myself take art classes again. I'm just going to like nurture this desire in me and see where it goes while I try to figure out how to make things for weddings and events. And I stumbled upon through Instagram, which I really think is one of my manifestation highways, even though maybe it's just because the phone listens to you, but I think it's an amazing love fest and creative area that we can all utilize. And sometimes it just brings to you exactly what you're looking for. And so I found this wreath making workshop. I was like, I'll go to that. And I walked into this studio shared by two florists who are dear friends of mine. So talented, so welcoming. Rachel of Siren Floral and Kasha of Plenty of Petals hosted this in San Diego. And I just walking into their studio, I was like, I didn't know this was an option. I didn't know this existed. It was like out of my dreams. There were like floor to ceiling shelving with beautiful vessels. And on the other side, like buckets of greenery and florals. And it was like wooden tables and metal clippers, like all of the sort of like analog hands-on old world things that I loved about the farm where I grew up, plus this like beautiful, creative, artistic styled side. And I was just like, is this real? And that moment of like, for me at least, and maybe anyone who's we all spend so much time in school, but I was just like, this wasn't on the list of majors. I didn't know this was an option. So I was really floored. We made wreaths. I found myself stumbling around asking like, do you guys ever need help? Because I'd love to learn. I'm not fresh out of college though. Is that okay? And they were so welcoming and like, yes, we always need help. It's a lot more labor than prettiness. And I was like, that's fine. I grew up on a farm. So that's how I started apprenticing. Even then though, you guys, I thought this is just something I'm weirdly looking into. It can't be what I'm going to do. Mm. And it wasn't until just after that experience, my husband and I went back to New Zealand to see a yoga teacher we love. And we stayed on an avocado farm with this wonderful family. And I found myself taking my husband for a tour around their farm, telling him about all their flowers and explaining what this flower is and that one and showing him. And he was like, you know, are you sure you don't want to just do flowers? I know you're excited about starting this like design studio, but sure you don't want to do flowers? And that was a really important moment for me, because I think that sometimes the people who love us the most and can see us the most clearly can be the most helpful in seeing what we are not able to see, or seeing what we're denying or denying ourselves. And that's definitely been a huge part of my healing process is to not deny myself what my heart wants and what I'm called to do. So that was a big part of realizing like, gosh, maybe I really do want to do this, and started a process of like, wow, while I'm apprenticing and learning about this, maybe I really have to give myself permission, because no one else is going to say, you know, I don't have a professor anymore who's like, you know, I see a lot of aptitude in you for floral design, right? So I have to say that for myself. And I think that's a big like breaking point for all of us coming out of a schooling system, which is wonderful for so many ways. But however far you went in school, your hand was held. You were praised for being good at things. You were helped into a path. You were held accountable. And there comes a time where it's really an opportunity for oneself, and definitely was for me, to give myself permission and to try. So I kind of, It was like an awakening in this very slow, piece by piece way. It was like, I can do flowers. I actually can. Maybe I suck at it at first and it's terrifying because I'm used to having kind of a higher status position. I'm used to teaching at my level of what I do for work. You know, so starting out that first year was so clumsy and so humbling and so frustrating, but I kept trying. And I think I went to different classes. I tried learning from different teachers and I kept practicing. And it was the kind of thing I heard someone on a podcast recently who was talking about, you have to be willing to build the engine while flying the plane. And that for a perfectionist like me, like a recovering perfectionist, as many of us are, is so wonderfully terrifying and freeing. That you've got to be willing to start building something before you're ready, start putting it out there before it's done, or else you'll never get anywhere. So it's really the chance is to start doing it. So in a huge nutshell, things were coming full circle for me, coming back to that creative world, that imaginative world, the beauty of the natural world, and a way that I could build something for myself and not limit or deny that for myself, that I can give back to the world in a way that's authentic to me and that gives me a place of discovery and creativity that's meaningful to me and will help me make my best work.
Yeah, I love that.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you in part by the Team Flower Conference, where flower lovers from all over the world gather together for education, connection, and celebration. Hear stage presentations from industry leaders on inspirational and educational topics in both design and business. Connect with like-minded professionals and think tank discussions and share your own questions, dreams, and advice with your peers. Network with industry support, enjoy flower theme celebrations, and receive encouragement for wherever you are in your journey with flowers. At the Team Flower Conference, you'll have the opportunity to make history as together we create the future we want to see in the industry, one step at a time. Whether you're a farmer, florist, wholesaler, floral artist, or someone who just loves flowers, you're welcome here. There's something truly magical that happens when we all come together, and we'd love for you to join us. You can find the latest information at teamflower.org/conference.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. And I just love that it seems so nice and neat and tied together now, but you shared that along the journey, it didn't always make sense, or you took a few turns that you maybe didn't have planned. You went into academia and then stepped out. But to me, you know, hearing your story now, it just seems so beautiful and connected. And even scrolling through your Instagram, I see all of these things covered, like your poems with your arrangements and then color. And you mentioned athletics. I know that wellness is a big thing for you. So I just see all of these things tied in your feed, and it's just beautiful to hear the story behind it. But something I'd love to circle back to is you said it's important to give ourselves permission. Yeah. Could you maybe just expound on that a little bit more? And like, if you had any advice for someone who might be in a similar situation, maybe coming out of a 9-to-5 or out of academia or out of school where everything looks maybe a different way, they're not used to being as creative or letting that side of themselves show, maybe share about how they could give themselves permission to do what their heart is tugging them towards.
I think that a huge part of giving yourself permission is acknowledging what is tugging you, acknowledging where your heart is, acknowledging what that passion is that is calling out to you. Even if you're not as like immensely passionate, maybe passion isn't the word that resonates with you, but it may be that you're curious about something, but there is such an obvious feeling that we can suppress or overlook if we don't listen, but it's really obvious and it's really there when we're not satisfied with what we're doing. And I truly believe that's because we have a much bigger calling in life, right? And that calling is called Dharma in certain belief systems, but it's really like what you are called to do and the service you're meant to give the world, but also what you're meant to create and experience and share. And I think a big help for me was realizing after all these jobs and all these things I tried to make stick and tried to be in charge of with my mind, mm-hmm. I realized that it's not so much the position or the expression of the calling. It's realizing the calling is going to find different expressions. So making sure that you choose a step that lets you express that calling. For me, I feel very called to empowerment and inspiration. And to realize that instead of like, should I be a professor? Should I be this? Should I be that? Going on behind the scenes of me trying for excellence in whatever I was doing, to have a moment to be like, no, I feel called to experience and share empowerment. And I feel called to experience and share inspiration. And that's enough, like letting that be enough. So really, I think it can happen probably more quickly if we practice listening. And I am one who loves the idea of meditation. I find running more meditative than sitting, but I know that practicing that like ability to be quiet and with yourself is the chance to hear that heartbeat, to hear that those little bits of the calling, the heart voice that's speaking all the time. We don't always listen. So I think that's a really essential seed within giving yourself permission is to listen and to allow what you are really called to be enough. I think it requires some self-acceptance, and I've never liked the word acceptance because it feels like forfeiting or compromising to me. So maybe it's more like self-celebration, that a chance to celebrate who you really are and are always becoming. And you don't have to try to be that you always are. And so that's why I think a lot of my life experience of giving myself permission is often less about what else can I do or who else can I be, and more about peeling back the layers and saying, look who I am, look who I've always been, and realizing that that is exactly how you get to be the most helpful, the most meaningful, the most of use and service to the world and others, is by finding and nurturing that for yourself.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And it's just so important to listen to ourselves and to follow that tug on our hearts and just explore that. I love that you mentioned like curiosity and just like following what you're curious in. And I also, you noted something about running and how that can be meditative for you. And I know that wellness is a big part of your journey and your life with flowers. So I would love to dive into that. Could you tell us a little bit more about your relationship with wellness and creativity and maybe how that connects with flowers in your life?
Yes, I am so passionate about this. Thank you for asking me. I feel like I can't keep it in, even if I wasn't asked to talk about it. So, but I think I'm so passionate about it because I think in two ways, creativity and wellness go together in this. In one way, is a natural symbiosis. Creativity is part of wellness. Human beings are creative beings, just like we're social beings. We're meant to do things together. I mean, we're meant to have our own alone time too, but we're not meant to go it alone. It takes a village. And creativity is a huge part of that. Everything we make, say, think of, do for work, share is all creative. Even when you make your food to eat at night for dinner is creative. Even the way you dress yourself is creative. Like, these are all expressions of who we are and what we care about. And so I think the first way that creativity and wellness go together is just symbiotically. And that the more you let yourself have a creative outlet, even if you don't think you're a creative person, there is something that is your creative outlet, whether or not that is in how you arrange your house, even if that is in how you do your makeup, you know, but it may be very obvious where you're like, I love to play piano. Let yourself play piano. If you're like, I'm so curious about flowers, I want to play with them. Go get some flowers at the farmer's market and start playing with them. You know, letting yourself create is part of your wellness. The second area is a little bit different and it's counterintuitive. So I think that's why I'm always talking about this and it's coming into my teachings too. So in one way, creativity is part of your wellness. You want to be well, let yourself create. In the other way, when you are an entrepreneur and you're running your own business, it can happen when you're not too. This is just most obvious to me and the people that I'm working with. But when you're working and creativity is part of your work, and particularly flowers and floral design is part of your creative work for your business, there is a big disconnect with wellness. And I think what I saw as I joined this industry and was welcomed in by amazing florists and floral designers and other aspects of the events industry and other people, but especially the florists, was this lack of self-care and wellness, and a lot of seeing like, florists forget to eat, florists forget to sleep. And I realized there's this kind of innate low grade, sometimes high grade stress to keeping flowers alive, making them look beautiful. Mm-hmm. My joke as a florist is that one of the biggest parts of my job is to help flowers die as slowly and beautifully as possible. Right. So because once they're cut, I grew up on a farm. I know, and we all know, things grow from the earth. They thrive. They have a lifespan. So they're going to die. But once they're cut, they are not in their life source anymore. You put them in water, you give them food, you keep them alive. But basically, a florist is trying to keep flowers alive and help them die as gracefully and slowly as possible so that they look beautiful, so they bring the magic of a meadow or a field or a farm. They bring that to an event, that they bring this complete and utter magic and beauty and music and mood to a space where they wouldn't normally be. And that is what is so powerful and beautiful. And they tell a story in how, what colors they are and what design they are and all of that. But keeping them alive and making them look that beautiful can be at the risk of the caretaker, the florist's own health. And again, like I said, I witnessed friends not eating, just grabbing fast food. And I was like, I am an athlete. I am never going to let this happen. And anyone I work with, I'm always going to bring snacks and water. And anyone who's worked with me will know that I usually do have this like snack pack and make sure everyone has water. But even for me, I have found I've had to really appoint my husband when it's a big event and I'm super busy. I'm like, please just make sure I eat, which has never been an issue for me in my life. I have fast metabolism. I get hangry. I am an eater. But I think it's really important to acknowledge that this line of work, whether or not it is in flowers especially, or if it's just creative work as not just, but if it's creative work as an entrepreneur or even in a regular 9-to-5 job or anything in between, when you get kind of obsessed with work or when work becomes acute and needs your full attention and needs your 100% care, I don't want that to be at the risk of or at the expense of your own health and wellness. So it for me, when there's something like that that comes in my way, I'm like, this is a big challenge and therefore a big opportunity. And I would love for this to be a bigger conversation with friends, with students who come to my workshops, with really anyone who is in this line of work or who's experiencing this.
It is a bigger conversation that we could dive into one day as an industry as a whole. Like, we could just take better care of ourselves. And I think the first step is just being aware of it, maybe being aware of our tendencies to go, go, go when we're in the event world, or our tendencies to just pick up fast food really quickly. But I think you hit on two practical things that we could even take away with today. Of course, I think we should build a routine that promotes rest and health. But sometimes events are crazy and that doesn't even work out. So I loved your idea of appointing your husband or like a friend or
someone,
a coworker, as like, make me eat today.
Yes.
Make sure I'm drinking water. Just keep an eye on me today.
Exactly. Put that. Someone in charge of the food. Make sure that that happens, you know, because at least if we stay fueled and hydrated, we won't get so far behind on, like, you know, when the migraines come and the like mood swings come. It's because our bodies are completely depleted. When I first started in this, I had a friend joke with me that the florists are always crying because they don't sleep or eat. And that really does mess with you. You know, that messes with your hormone balance, that messes with everything. So putting yourself under that extra stress over time isn't great. And I know, just like you said, there's like a go time function where, like, we have this many hours to make this installation and this whole thing happen. That's fine. But it's like the whole week before an event, or if it's like week after week after week. So just like you said, I feel like my recommendation is to like have some kind of system in place where someone's in charge of food and water, make sure that that happens at the least. And then also just remembering that even though we have a very physical job, moving buckets in your body, you know, that was something I really craved in my other work, was like, I want a physical job. It's great, but that isn't the same as like going for a walk in the woods or going for a run or practicing yoga or giving yourself like a mindful physical movement practice. So just remembering to schedule that in when you schedule your other work. And even if it can't be every day or it can't be for a whole hour, I went on this wonderful wellness retreat with a couple of amazing women. It's called Be Luminary. Kara and Amber run it. And one of their recommendations was to like, think of it as like a movement snack. You know, you don't have to have like a whole workout to make it real, but give yourself, even if you have 20 minutes, even if you have like turn on the music and clean your house or do something where you feel like there's a chance for healthy movement. But I guess before we move from this point, I just wanted to share that sometimes wellness is a nebulous word. What does that even mean? Everyone's like, yeah, wellness. Yeah. But like, what is wellness? And I've had to put myself to that. I'm like, what do I mean? And I just wanted to share, I've sort of broken it up into a few pieces to help. It's almost like there are areas that we can be like, oh, how am I doing in these areas? And those are community, or you nurture relationships with friends, family, shared experiences that fill you up, make you feel inspired. Support. So support is like making sure you have a little team, even if loosely, of like healers, someone you go see for massage, someone you get a pedicure from, something where like a little team of healers, maybe it's a therapist, maybe it's whatever it is, but when you need guidance or when you're out of whack, having support. So we've got community support, education. Education is anything from a book to a podcast to a blog post, a workshop, a class, anything, but where you're feeding your own learning, where you're feeding yourself and your curiosities. And often that place of wellness, the education part, just like for me, is where you discover what you really are called to do and need to move toward next. Another one's healing. Make space to feel what's really going on inside you so you can acknowledge, process, and let it go. I'll talk about that a little later, but flowers are a hugely healing medium for me because it really helps me let go of perfectionism and control. It helps me realize kind of the ephemerality of life. And so healing is just a really important aspect in the giving yourself permission. The next one is movement, which I already talked about, but maybe different from exercise, which can be kind of stressful for some people. Some people it's like, that's great. I love exercise. But just thinking of movement, dancing, anything that's going to let your body move and not be like hunched up over an arrangement you're making until it's all cramped, you know, which is part of the work. And it's okay, but giving yourself a chance also to have healthy, mindful movement. And the last one is nourishment. And I think instead of diet or something like that, think of nourishment, having a relationship with your body to understand what would make me feel good, what would help me feel better. And I think that one of the most immediate acts of self-love is nourishment and comes from nutrition. So when people are like, oh, self-love, also kind of a wonderful word, but thrown around. If you're wondering how to actually put that into action, I think nourishing yourself is one of the biggest ones. So I just share those because I had to sort of define this for myself too, what makes up wellness. And I think those are helpful, kind of a helpful list for that. I really encourage everyone to think of the fact that when you are lost or feel off track, create. When you feel like you don't know what's next, create. Let yourself do something creative. And if you don't feel like you can muster creativity, take care of your body, because your body is your home and your instrument. And if you don't feel like you can create, which always kind of brings us back to the moment, brings us back on track, do something good for your body. And that home and that creative instrument will feel better and return to balance.
Awesome. I love that. Thank you so much for being here, Jen. This has been really encouraging, and I am excited for everyone to get to hear our conversation today. As we wrap up, can you just let our audience know how they can find you and just connect with you further if they want to talk more or learn more about this topic of wellness and creativity and your journey with flowers?
Yeah, absolutely. I am at nectarandbloomfloral.com. We're in the midst of a website update, so it will be looking better soon. But I'm also at Nectar and Bloom on Instagram with little underscores around my and. Yeah, I'm teaching workshops and classes. We're doing one-on-ones in my studio as well as workshops for groups, and lots more of that is coming. We just had a Lush Bouquets and Yoga Creativity and Wellness workshop this past month. So I'm excited to announce other dates, but I'd love to hear requests and things like that. So
yeah, thank you so much, Jen. And we'll put all these links in our show notes. And yeah, we're just happy to have you on the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Megan. Thanks, Team Flower. What a pleasure to get to spend this time with you. Thanks so much.
As we sign off today, I want to remind you that your work with flowers matters. It's about more than the blooms. You're loving the world. You make magic happen. You're creating memories. You're following a dream, delivering light and grace. Here at Team Flower, we're cheering you on, one bloom at a time. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And until next time, remember that we're so thankful for each bucket that you wash and each bag of garbage that you take out of your studio that makes all of this possible. If you're looking for more floral education that's free, conversation, or inspiration, just visit teamflower.org/free to see the library of helpful videos and articles for florists, growers, and flower business owners. You'll find helpful tips on everything from creating flower walls to hiring freelancers and much, much more.